Professor Ken Morgan from the University of Western Australia. Thank you very much, Mr. Premier, for your very insightful thoughts. And I guess thank you for setting last week that target of 20% for renewable energy. If we, if I preface what you've just said, you know, positioning our economy for the future, at what time and date has your government set for fighting global warming? What's your target for cutting greenhouse gases or emissions? If you could share with us those issues, sir. Thank you.
We've already... look, the Greenhouse Task Force report that came out last week said that we should aim for a target, which I think is in line with the Kyoto Protocols, of a 50% reduction in greenhouse emissions of 1990 levels by 2050. Now, I don't see any reason why we can't achieve that. I actually... The work that is being done to actually calculate, first of all, what our emissions are needs to go on and be more accurate. But we also, I think, have never taken into consideration what our level of carbon capture has been in the years since 1990 from the plantation forest industry in the southwest. We are... The figure of 50% reduction on 1990 levels, I think, is attainable. We have not... set a figure for renewable energy production statewide, because I think more work needs to go into that before a state government commits its state to having 20%, for example, 20% renewable energy generation across the board by a particular date, and the case that is being run, it's by 2020. The earlier calculations that I did just off the top of my head when this first came up, bearing in mind that I was energy minister for about 12 months, was that if we were to embrace a 20% renewable energy target across the system in Western Australia by 2020, then from this point forward, every increment in energy generation would have to be renewable. Now, we don't start from the same starting point that everybody else might start from. We don't start from a starting point that South Australia, for example, might start from, where they've got a high renewable energy generation position already. We started 5 years ago with 1% renewable energy generation on the southwest grid. We're up to 5, nearly 6% now. And I go back to the point that I made before. Before you set down cast iron targets for energy generation, renewable energy generation, or in the shorter term, emissions reductions, look at what you can actually achieve. In the words of Maurice Yemmer the other day, in trying to save the planet, be sure you don't destroy your economy. So we have to be mindful of what it is we can actually achieve. I think the areas in which we've got some targets now, 50% reduction by 2050, 1990 levels, 20% state purchase of renewable energy already, I think they're eminently achievable. And we need to make sure that as we go forward in the energy generation, climate change, emission trading debate, we position ourselves for success and not failure.
Present the night of Al Gore's presentation here in Perth, as were members of your cabinet. Do you think that some of the dire predictions that are being touted by some of the notable scientists around the world, that we don't have 50 years or 20 years, and for Mr. Yemmer to make a comment that, you know, to save the planet, you know, we throw the economy out, is a nonsense. So there are some quarters who would argue we need to deal with the problem right now far more savagely, far more severely than we ever have. I just wondered if you think it's too much of the hype and, you know, that the media's playing us up too much at this point in time.
I'm not sure whether I'm answering yes or no to the question about the hype. The hype on which side, I'm not sure. This is the way I saw it. The climate change issue has been developing its momentum, and it has got to the point where, irrespective of whether or not you wanted to embrace the argument in its entirety, we have to respond, because I think there are impacts there that are undeniable. For example, the climate's already changed in Western Australia. The southwest corner of Western Australia is significantly drier than it was 30 years ago. And I was sceptical about whether or not that was the case. But then once I got into government, I became, you know, I got access to the rainfall figures, which are quite obvious. Rain, the climate's changed in the southwest of Western Australia. Therefore, you have to respond. And I think as the world moves to respond to these issues, we have to be responding too. We have to do it in a way, I think, which is manageable for your own community and your own economy. And in the ideal world, and I think we can try and get close to it, we actually can produce a benefit for your state rather than a detriment. The bigger predictions, the predictions of sea levels rising 5 metres and in temperature increases of a couple of percentage points or degrees, I don't believe I need to sit around arguing the science. I accept that there are significant changes, climate changes happening on the planet now that is related to global warming, and that there are things that states, nations, communities and individuals can do to ameliorate the impact. And so we need to do them. And we will.
Just before you smack my hand outside, I didn't mean to leave it up, Mr. Carpenter, and I do want to live in Western Australia.
Good on you.
And see the Dockers win. There's been, I mean, I think all of us embrace everything you said about climate change and the need to be doing much more about saving our resources and everything. And there's a lot of talk also about how Perth needs to be a much more exciting city. So one thing that hasn't come up today and that I'd like to raise is funding for the arts, really. You know, I think most of us, when we go overseas, the first place we go to is an art gallery. We want to get a kind of a picture of a place's culture. And I feel that in Western Australia, we're kind of really lagging behind in this. So I wonder if you could talk about any plans that you have to make Perth more dynamic.
Yes, you're referring specifically to funding for the arts or in a more general sense?
Specifically to funding for the arts, I'd say, because I think if we want to attract people, what we're seeing now is our new generation of artists leaving Perth because they can't really find... It's not exciting enough. You know, they want to do something to keep them here.
Yeah. Okay. In the most general terms, and that's about the most I can deliver because I don't have the statistics on the top of my head and I don't have them in my pocket either. But the basic question, the response to your question, is very, very keen to make sure that we also use this good economic time to stimulate interest in, opportunities in, growth in the arts in Western Australia. We are in the process of building a new theatre, which will be the major theatre for Western Australia, in Northbridge. We are in the process, I hope soon, of building Perth Arena, which will be a 14,000-seat venue for performance. We are in the process of delivering that, I hope, delivering a much more than just an indoor facility, but an area not dissimilar to that around the exhibition centre in Melbourne, where you have performance space, where you have outdoor screens and so on. We delivered, I think, $5 million to the music industry and continue to support the music industry in Western Australia through from the time when we got into government. We started funding music industry for new and developing artists. My wife last year was appointed as the fashion ambassador for Western Australia, and coincidentally, and I'm sure it was, we funded it as well. And not in the way that through the credit card, but we funded the fashion industry. I would like to see, in broad terms, I would like to see Perth just vibrant. Vibrant. I would like to see a new museum. I want to be around long enough to actually at least put in place processes which deliver us. The arena, the new theatre. I'd like to see an Aboriginal contemporary and... not historic, contemporary... cultural facility where you go every single day and there are live performances of both contemporary and historical performance of Aboriginal art. I would like to see Perth with the same sort of vibrancy and excitement that you can get in any major city in the world which wants to attract people here for reasons of lifestyle, for culture, to be entertained whilst they're here and so on. And I think we have taken the first steps in that direction. And you know, I want to be the Premier who is able to deliver along those lines, but you cannot click your fingers and suddenly produce these results overnight. I want to make sure that people who are aspiring dancers, musicians, playwrights, whatever it happens to be, can operate and generate success from here in Western Australia. Not that we should try to stop them from travelling, but that we can provide them the opportunities here and draw from other parts of the world, as we do in the resource sector, for example, the very best people in the world. We draw them here because this is a place which is good to perform in, which is where you get a good response and where you are provided with a wonderful venue. I want to see all those sort of things achieved.
Thank you. Stephen from CSR Limited. In relation to your announcement today on state co-ownership for new homeowners, a couple of questions, I suppose, in detail. Does it apply to new housing as well as to existing stock? And B, do you feel that that will assist people in the long term, or will it just add fuel to the fire?
Well, I hope it doesn't add fuel to the fire. Can you imagine what it would be like for me, given, you know, where I'm positioned politically, if I'm the Premier who presides over the period in Western Australia where vast numbers of young people and low-income earners were shut out of the housing ownership opportunity? I wouldn't enjoy it. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to put into place measures which generate an even bigger problem, that fuel the flame. So I don't want to do that. The program we announced today would be a $300 million program. I've got some detail. Up to 40% joint equity program, 40% for families with incomes under $60,000, up to 30%, this is the department, the state purchasing, up to 30% for couples with incomes under $50,000 and up to 30% for singles with incomes under $35,000 to a maximum property price $365,000. Now, we've done some calculations. My initial reaction to that was, it's nowhere near high enough. You can't get a place for less than that. Well, you can. I've been provided with a significant list of suburbs and centres around Western Australia where you can access housing for that sort of price. Either, to go back to your initial question, I think, either as an existing dwelling or as a house and land package. Very, very important. This is an issue that is that we can't not respond to, but we have to be careful that we don't inadvertently make the situation worse by just fueling demand. It's a sort of balance that you have to try and find, and I'm trying to make sure that we find that balance.